Friday, September 8th, 247. Written by 429 Car Crash and read by Flower Parish. This is a Marvel and DC crossover fic, rated for teen and up audiences, featuring Bucky Barnes, Clint Barton, Natasha Romanoff, and Roy Harper. And it's pre-Clint Barton / Jason Todd. Summers in the Lower City were always hot and miserable. Tensions ran high and tempers ran short, and if anyone asked, Clint was going to blame his recent string of shitty luck on the weather. The whispers he'd heard of rot in the grain harvest and counterfeit money coming into the city were bad enough, but in the past week, Clint had also been reprimanded for his poor quality reports, gotten a scent hound he had no training for dumped on him when he dared question a handler's brutish methods, and had been reassigned to his training dogs after being cast aside by the partner that had been the root cause of said poor quality reports. Clint got some shit from the rest of the watch when they heard that bit of news, but several of the more senior dogs made sure he knew they had his back. Coulson seemed apologetic that he'd gotten saddled with Rumlow in the first place, telling him that the man had already been transferred to the magistrate's court. At least he was no longer tied to that jerk, but he couldn't help feeling like a failure anyway. Clint got on well with Bucky and Natasha, and the three of them made a great team, but dogs were supposed to work in pairs, not in trios. He wanted his own partner. Well, he had Lucky to keep him company once he was better. Coulson had approved him taking over officially as the hound's handler, and promised to sort out some rudimentary training. The extra stipend that came along with the dog would be helpful too. Claire wouldn't take payment for the ointments and treatments she was using to treat Lucky's wounds, but Clint knew the mutt was going to need a lot of extra meals to get back up to a healthy weight. The less said about the dog's previous handler, Ivan, the better. But every now and then, Clint had the stray thought that maybe he should let Claire loose on the man. But no, that wouldn't end well for anyone. Except maybe Lucky. Overall, it had been a less than stellar week. So, when he heard the general alarm whistle coming from the night market less than an hour into patrol, Clint's first thought was, now what? There were 5 pairs of dogs assigned to the market on Saturdays, and 2 more roving nearby. If 14 people wasn't enough to handle whatever was going down, he traded a wary look with Bucky and Natasha. Weapons check, Natasha ordered quickly. Clint made sure his knives were in their proper places and laced up his arm guards tightly, fiercely regretting the pieces of armor that he'd left behind due to the heat. Keep breathing, keep learning, he reminded himself. Mithros watch over us, Bucky said, once they'd each gone over their gear. So mote it be, Clint and Natasha responded quietly. Neither of them held much with the gods, but on a night like this, they could use all the help they could get. The square was a madhouse. There were always a load of people, especially on a weekend, but this was something else. Even with the advantage of his height, it was hard for Clint to see over the crowd. He scrambled up a nearby fountain and scanned the square quickly to look for the reason everyone was so riled up. When he found it, his heart dropped through his stomach. There was a line of dogs guarding the front of 2-for-1 Bakery. The slate sign, which had read, Day-Old Loaves, 2-for-1 Copper, as long as Clint could remember, had been changed. The 2 was crossed out, and a shaky chalk 1 had replaced it. He swore under his breath. It was hard enough already for folks living in the Lower City. Every copper made a difference. The rumbling of the crowd got impossibly louder. People in the front with empty baskets, people in the back with stones and sticks, eventually coalescing into one loud chant. Bread! 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 Clint waited just long enough to see a cotton cabbage fly through the air and hit one of the dogs square in the chest before he started making his way back down, warning the kids clinging to the fountain to get out and get home before shit went down. He wasn't quite fast enough. Fighting broke out before he hit the ground. Bucky and Natasha took the lead, while Clint moved behind them to guard their backs, just like in previous fights. He kept his baton working. Anyone trying to argue got a smack. Anyone dumb enough to pull a weapon got a smack on the head. This wasn't the time to play games. There were plenty of people out for blood, but just as many caught up with nowhere to go. Clint pulled a few people out of the thick of things and got them to the relative safety of a wooden stall on the edge of the square, but it wasn't long before that got destroyed in the chaos. "Here, follow me." Clint whirled around. On top of the rest of the noise, the child he'd just picked up was shrieking in his ear, so the deep voice coming from behind him was entirely unexpected. The owner of said deep voice was also unexpected. Dark-haired, save for a white forelock, watchful eyes and an easy grin, and muscles to rival the best of them. He didn't wait for a response once he'd caught Clint's attention, just turned and walked away, leading a small group of civilians with the expectation that Clint would follow along as well. "Go and come back safely," Natasha said, foisting her own rescued kid off onto Clint before returning to the fray. Clint hustled after the stranger, wanting to get the kids somewhere safe as soon as possible, and also not wanting to be away from his partners any longer than necessary. The man led their little group to the Jack and Pasty, and Clint let out a sigh of relief at the sight of those strong stone walls and slate roof tiles. The pub's windows were shuttered and barred. Only the door was open, guarded by a rangy redhead holding a longbow like a staff. "Only you could pick up a hot guy in the middle of a riot, Jason," he called out with a grin as they approached. Clint could feel himself flushing instinctively. It wasn't that he hadn't noticed the man he'd been following was attractive, but he was working, damn it. This was not the time. "Hey, you want to go out there and see if you can find someone yourself, Roy? I'm happy to hold down the fort alone." Roy just laughed and handed a flask of barley water to each of them. Clint drained his and passed it back with thanks. "If you find more, guardsmen, we've started a collection in here," Jason said with a wink. Clint nodded and turned back to the crowd. He needed to get back to Natasha and Bucky. As he got closer to the mayhem, he pulled out his whistle and blew their private signal and was relieved when he heard the answering whistle not far away. It was a struggle to get through to them. It seemed as though half the lower city were here in the square, everyone shouting and fighting each other, buildings starting to burn down. Clint muscled his way through as best as he could, but he knew he was going to be bruised all to pieces tomorrow, and possibly burnt, too, if he wasn't careful. He had just made it to where he could see Bucky over the heads of the crowd when the man roared and disappeared from his sight. Clint pulled out his long boot knife and started smacking people with it sidelong. Folks were a lot faster to notice a blade than they were a baton. Natasha was holding off the mob with her baton and a torch she'd grabbed from somewhere, standing guard in front of Bucky, who was leaning against King Garrett's fountain with his left arm broken in multiple places and his face white as a sheet. "That's no good," came a voice from behind Clint. He turned, blade raised, to find Jason standing behind him once again. "Steve's gonna kill me," he heard Bucky groan. "Let's make sure you get home so he can do just that," Natasha said, in that dry, practical, nobody-panic tone she had, before fixing her gaze on Clint and Jason. "You've somewhere safe to hole up in?" "Yes, ma'am," Jason said, and Clint bobbed his head in agreement. "All right, help me get him there," she ordered briskly, sliding her shoulder under Bucky's right arm to support him. Clint moved behind and to the left of him, both to keep anyone from jostling his broken arm, and to be ready to catch in case the shock set in bad enough that he couldn't keep his feet. Jason led them through the mob, more slowly than the first time Clint had followed him, but no less impressively. He'd picked up a metal bar somewhere along the way, and was doling out smacks to legs and arms as necessary to move people out of the way or get them to drop their own weapons. Roy was still stationed outside the Jack and Pasty when they got there and wasted no time holding the door open for Natasha and Jason to hustle Bucky through. Clint stayed outside, ostensibly in case anyone came to cause trouble, but truthfully, he didn't like seeing Bucky like that. He'd rather keep watch out here, stay busy. In between smacking around rioters who thought it was worth trying to rush the place, he got to know Roy a bit better. Apparently, he and Jason were part of a crew of caravan guards, and they'd been looking for trinkets to take home when the fighting started. Roy was in the middle of telling Clint about some of his and Jason's exploits when the air boomed around them. "Mages," Roy said the word like a swear. "They finally noticed the riots out of control, I'd wager. Sounds like the start of a freezing spell." Clint eyed him with new interest. "You've done this before." Roy winked. "Once or twice, not here, but out in Gala and Toussaint," he said, as the air grew heavy around them. "Here we go." Clint raised a hand through a breeze that felt like honey. A pair of rioters further down the alleyway moved slower and slower. Roy dragged Clint inside before they got caught up as well. Within the stone walls, everything felt normal. "There's a freeze spell outside," Roy announced. "Settle in, no one's going anywhere for a while." Amongst the gasps and groans of the others in the pub, Clint walked over to where Bucky was laid out on a table, finally unconscious. "How is he?" he asked. "Arms broken in two places, according to Mistress Maximoff," Natasha said, nodding at a petite redhead who was sliding a pillow under the head of the pregnant woman on the next table over. "I'm not so good with broken bones," she said, apology written all over her face. "He's had quite a few healings done on him already as well. Best I can do is keep him quiet until you can get him to your healers. This woman's going into labor. She's going to need my help." Clint nodded in understanding. Magic didn't stick as well to a body after too many healings, and senior dogs tended to collect more than their fair share of injuries. "What's going on outside?" Natasha asked. "Freeze spells," Clint told her. "Though why they didn't use that on the mob last year, I don't know." "Wasn't that riot all over the lower city?" Jason asked as he came over. "Bigger the area, harder it is to magic, and that's a spell that uses an awful lot of power to begin with." He sat down next to Clint and frowned lightly. "You look worn out," he said, offering Clint a cup of something that might have been ale. Clint shook his head. "You've had a busy night," Jason argued. "I'm fine," Clint said. "You're not from here, Jason..." "Jason Todd, of Port Kane," he said with a grin. "I'm a caravan guard with Roy. We were on leave and ended up in the wrong place at the wrong time." "Fortunate for us, if not for you," Natasha said. "Yeah," Jason said, quirking his lips into a smile. "You should try to get some rest," he continued. "We're all gonna be here a while, from what I understand." Clint leaned back against the wall and shut his eyes briefly. He felt his head slide down to Jason's shoulder, but he was too tired to stop it. It was a comfortable place to rest, anyway. The end. Podficker's note. This is a treat for Car Crash in the 48-hour exchange. I don't really know the Tordal canon very well, so I did my best with all the words that I was less familiar with. I hope you still liked it anyway.